but it came too swiftly. Hanska fast. Black skin turns iron hard, moulded about the spear point, driven half an inch into her flesh but arresting the missile, denying it her life. She turns as she falls, sprawling amid the gore. Someone is leaving the Pilarthi ranks. A woman.
Sister?
Thorne's vision is blurred with blood, with sweat, with exhaustion. The woman is not Pilarthi, but she holds a second spear. Thorne blinks, and in that moment recognizes one who was once her sister. It is important, when killing a nun, to ensure that you bring an army of sufficient skill. The dark-haired woman hoists her spear.
Don't!
Thorne raises her hand, not asking for mercy, but in protest.
This is wrong! Don't do it!
The spear is thrown. Chapter 21 Welcome to Grey Class. Sister Flint rose from her desk to take Nona's merit scroll, set with the seals of the five mistresses in acknowledgement of her satisfactory performance in Blade, Spirit, Academia, Shade, and Path.
You will be sitting by a larder. Over here.
The classmistress steered Nona from the door to her own seat. By dint of being considerably over 6 foot tall, though nowhere near much more than 1 foot wide, Sister Flint managed to make Nona feel smaller at 12 than Sister Oak had when she first arrived in Red Class, not having reached her 10th birthday. Clara, Ara, Hessa, and Ketty grinned at her from their desks, while the remaining 8 novices favoured her with the stony looks reserved for any new meet. Clara had been the first of them to move up, and let nobody forget the fact. It had been Academia that held Nona back the longest, though she loved both the subject and Sister Rule. Nona had even mastered the much-hated Saints' Days, ceremonies and catechism and spirit under Sister Wheel's unforgiving eye before she passed her Academia finals. It had been the writing more than the reading that defeated her for so long. The business of wrestling her thoughts into a wriggling white scrawl of lines across the test slate. Sister Flint returned to her desk, but didn't take her seat.
Grey Class meet here on the morning of every first day for general instruction. I also provide individual tuition in subjects you may be experiencing difficulty with.
The sister paused and glanced out of the window. Grey Class met in a room at the back of Blade Hall that offered views out across to the Glasswater sinkhole and beyond the narrowing point of the plateau to the farmlands north of Verity. Presently the rock lay sun-spattered with just a fleeting shadow here and there, where the wind chased a cloud from the sky.
Today, however, we will finish a quarter hour early. I shall leave you to introduce yourself to new classmates and gossip with old ones.
Sister Flint closed the heavy book on her desk, letting the leather cover fall with a thump. She said nothing more as she left the room, perhaps eager to catch a moment in the all-too-rare sunshine. Conversation erupted along with the scraping of chairs as the door closed behind the nun. Clara reached Nona's side first, elbowing her way through the bigger girls. The eldest of the novices were around 14, and some looked older than their years.
"Thank the ancestor, Nona. You saved us. Flint was on about girls getting their blood. It was vile. She just wouldn't stop with the detail. I've decided I'm not doing it."
Ara ducked around a couple of older novices and sat on Nona's desk.
"I've been having mine since the last ice wind. It's not so bad. The cramps are..." "Will you just stop?"
Clara made a face.
"Anyway, I'm safe. Flint said they'd come later if you're thin."
She eyed Ara's curves. Ketty, taller and still more slender than Clara, raised a brow at the suggestion.
"She said that?" "If that were true, then Flint would never have got hers," Ara said, raising her eyes to the ceiling.
She tolerated Clara to about the same degree that Clara tolerated her, but the claws were never wholly sheathed when the two spoke.
"Perhaps that's why she likes talking about it so much."
Clara waved the topic away.
Anyway, little Nona, in Grey class. It's going to be great. Jula and Ruli will come through soon. I know they will. Ruli's just got to get her stamp from Mr. Splade.
Nona opened her mouth to say that Jula just needed her shade stamp, and the test was scheduled for next 4 day. But a shadow fell across her, and the words stayed where they were. A hand, seeming the size of a dinner plate, reached for her. She grabbed one large, outstretched finger as the rest fastened on her shoulder and heaved her painfully from her chair.
"I'm Dala."
The novice lifted her from the ground, her grip so tight that Nona felt sure the fingers digging into her must have punched through her skin.
"Nona!"
she gasped. The girl had looked big when hunched over her desk. In the refectory, she stood taller than most of the novices in holy class, most of the nuns, too. But close up, she was enormous.
"You're the shield, eh?"
Dala had a blunt face that looked as if it had been put to hard use scrubbing floors. Her head had been shaved perhaps a week earlier, and a pale seam of scar curved from just above her left eyebrow back across forehead and scalp, visible among the coarse brown stubble. She carried Nona, one-armed, pressing her to the wall.
"Don't look so much to me."
"You saw her in the test."
Ara, loud and angry.
"Put her down,"
Ketty reaching towards Darla's arm. Dala grunted, increasing the pressure on Nona's shoulder until the joint creaked.
"There's more to winning than speed. Don't care what Tallow says."
With her spare hand, she poked Nona in the gut, hard enough to make her writhe.
"What you gonna do now, fast girl?"
Another of the older novices pulled Ketty's arm from Darla's and sent Clara staggering back with a bump of her hip.
"This is the first lesson you learn in Grey class, that it's not all about ratty little huskies, least not while I'm in it."
Dala poked again.
"It's not a lesson that gets written in ink, either. I'll leave you a few bruises so you can study it again tonight. Your friends all got theirs first day, except the princess. I let her off."
She drew back her fist. Nona met the girl's flat, brown eyes. The grip on her shoulder was iron. Her feet, dangling above the floor, might just touch Darla's stomach if she ignored the pain and thrashed to reach. But she could kick a tree trunk for all the good it would do.
"Nothing to say,"
Dala grinned. An ugly thing. Nona untwisted her mouth and grinned back past the pain. She reached across to grab with her other hand the single finger she had managed to secure a hold on as Dala seized her and yanked with all her strength. Darla's scream, the crack of bone, and the thunk of one meaty fist into Nona's face all joined into a single sound. After that came a fall to the floor, screaming, a torrent of kicks, more screaming. Though dazed and half-blinded with the pain, Nona tried to twist to minimize the impacts, folding herself around the heaviest of the kicks. Forged into a tough strip of muscle, gristle and bone by more than 2 years of training in blade fist, Nona knew how to take punishment. Finally, a kick made solid contact and lifted her from the ground, slamming her back against the base of the wall. Even with the breath gone from her lungs, she managed to arc out of the way of the next, allowing Dala to kick the wall. The novice howled. She hopped away, scattering desks and screaming curses clutching at her foot. The other novices leapt clear of Darla's erratic path, leaving her to find herself face to face with Sister Tallow at the doorway.
"Dala, you appear to have broken your finger,"
Sister Tallow said without heat. Dala looked down at her hand, the finger jutting at an alarming angle. She paled almost to green and straightened, putting her foot down, only to grimace and whimper another curse.
"And some tools," Sister Tallow frowned. "Get to the sanatorium. We will speak of this later."
Dala hobbled out, hissing with every second step. Clara and Ara helped Nona up, and although every part of her wanted to stay there on the floor, coiled about the pain in her ribs and stomach, She let them lift her to her feet. Hessa stood close by, leaning on her crutch, looking concerned, but also puzzled.
No, not too. You look to have had the worst of it.
Sister Tala waved her towards the door. Nona straightened with a wince, shaking the hands from her.
I feel fine, mistress.
She spat a crimson mess to the floor and showed Mistress Blade a fearsome bloody grin.
I've waited 2 years to have you show me blade lore. I'm ready now.
Sister Tala watched Nona for a long, silent moment, eyes narrow.
Grey class to the hall, then. Let's see how ready you are, novice.
A curt nod, and she left the room.
What? You need to go to Sister Rose, Nona.
Ara wiped at Nona's mouth with the sleeve of her habit, and it came away stained.
Why didn't you take her down?
Clara asked, not loud, almost lost in the tumult of voices. Nona cricked her neck and took a pace forward, resisting the urge to clutch her side.
How would I do that? She's a giant!
Clara gave her a narrow stare, remarkably like Sister Tallow's. Nona shrugged. Taken by surprise and held tight, her speed hadn't mattered much. She would have had to cut Darla to win free without injury. She swallowed more blood.
You should have pounded her.
Clara curled her lip, perhaps imagining herself delivering such a beating.
Even if I could, it's not worth making an enemy over such a small matter.
Small?
She wanted me to know she's the boss. If you're going to let someone take your measure, you should at least get something worth having in return. Mistress Blay taught us that.
She did?
Clara looked surprised. All around them, the novices were gathering their stuff and starting to head out to the changing room.
Really?
Ara came across from Nona's desk with her lesson bag.
Really? I think you turn off your ears when Sister Tallow puts down her sword and starts talking theory.
I took a few kicks, and in exchange I don't have to watch my back or worry about Darla poisoning my food,
Nona said.
Being feared is clearly very important to her. Why take it away?
Why break her finger, then?
Clara demanded, deep furrows against her brow.
She'll remember she beat me, so she won't carry a grudge. She'll remember it hurt, so she'll convince herself she doesn't need to do it again.
And the toes?
I got tired of being kicked.
And Nona hobbled through the door. Hessa stumped along with Nona, keeping pace easily for once.
Was all that true?
Nona glanced her way, wincing.
Yes. Was it all the truth, though?
Not all of it,
Nona said. There was more, and as usual, Hessa knew.
She hurt you. I wanted to break her bones.
She knocks every new novice about.
Hessa turned for the exit. She spent blade class pursuing her other studies.
Yes, but yours, I felt.
Once Hessa had shared with Nona the memory of her last day with Giljon, and somehow her inexperience had led to the forging of a more permanent bond. Perhaps once a month they would share a nightmare. Never a good dream. Always something traumatic. And in moments of true panic or pain, Hessa's thoughts would reach out and overwhelm Nona's. It happened in the other direction, to a lesser degree. When Nona had taken the arrow, Hessa had collapsed from more than shock. The pain had echoed in her too. When Darla had knocked Hessa to the floor and set her foot to Hessa's face, Nona had, in that same moment, shared her skin. The mixture bubbling before her in shade class, forgotten and unseen, had felt the weight of Darla's shoe, the agony in Hessa's hip, the humiliation of many eyes watching as she squirmed. She had known all of it and been unable to act.
I'm not going to get beaten twice and not bite back.
Hessa offered a shy grin.
Well, she's certainly been bitten.
And with that, she took herself off across the hall, the swing of her leg leaving a dashed line alongside each of her single footprints. Out on the sands, Sister Tallow waited for them, in her hand a naked blade, the long, thin sword favoured by the sisterhood, a strip of arced steel, carrying a slight curve and an edge that could cut the truth from a lie. Nona jogged after the others, uncomfortable in the blade habit assigned to her, a heavy tunic of padded leather, bleached to a pale beige. The long sleeves overlapped awkward gauntlets, all designed to minimize the potential for novices gutting each other. She went to stand beside Clara and Ketty. Sister Tallow always had a stillness about her. Often in blade fist, Nona would start and finish a bout, only to find the nun in the same position, watching, as if her flesh were inanimate, and she had been carved from it rather than grown. Today, though, she paced, glancing up at the windows. Long, swift strides, impatient, spinning to turn and pace again. Before the novices were gathered and arrayed in their lines, the main doors opened, and Sister Wheels slipped through, the cone of her headdress scraping the wood. She stayed by the doors, seeming to glare at everyone in the hall.
"Some of you will have seen this before, most will not." Sister Tallow held her sword up as they hastened into their lines. "You won't hold one unless you graduate this class, and all your other grey classes, and come to me again in mystic class. But if you do become martial sisters, it will be through such a weapon that you may need to direct the ancestor's will. Pray that you are never called upon to use it, but know that there have been few sisters who took the red and kept their blade unsullied."
"Sullied?" Clara bit back on the question, but it escaped. Even so,
"blood is always a failure."
Sister Tallow's glance flickered to Nona.
"Often the failure of the sister who holds the sword, sometimes of those who sent her into conflict, or sometimes the failure lies years back in the hands of someone who missed an opportunity for peace, who saw a chance to avert a distant violence and did not take it, or who failed to see that chance."
She returned the sword to the scabbard at her hip.
"I spend the red class, that's 2 years for most of you, on unarmed combat. One reason I make you dangerous without a weapon, and will continue to reinforce that training, is so that you have an alternative to this." She slapped her hip. "You may be called upon to enforce the authority and the will of the church. It would be better if you did so in a manner that allows the transgressor to see the error of their ways rather than the contents of their body. The sword is a final solution."
Sister Tallow looked along their lines as if considering fruit at market, and finding none to her standard.
"Knives today, training blades. Equip yourselves, run, but remember where your blade is and what it will cut if you fall."
The novices took off running, sand scattering beneath bare feet. Nona brought up the rear, limping to spare tender flesh already turning to bruise. Darla had been a lesson in herself. Take a giant by surprise and you could fell Raymel Taxus with a blow. Let a giant take you by surprise and your options might dwindle to nothing. As she turned where the corridor split, changing room to the left, storeroom to the right, Nona caught sight of a figure in the dark corridor that continued to the blade path chamber. It almost looked like Kettle, but the hard-eyed stare held nothing of the nun's humour.
"She'll shave your head!"
Clara raced from the storeroom, holding a long knife as Nona approached the door. By the time Nona had fought her way through the novices bundling from the doorway, all with daggers in hand, the room lay empty. It wasn't clear where the girls had taken their knives from. At the far end of the chamber, a bewildering array of weapons lined the shelves, hilts out ready for the taking. Nona passed by the racks, swords of various lengths and weights, long-hafted axes, climbing picks, hook knives, throwing knives, poniards, killing spikes. She hurried to the furthest corner. Kneeling, she reached up beneath the lowest shelf, stretching. Craw spiders sometimes lurked in such places, but she hadn't time for caution. Her fingers found only space, and for a moment she thought it had been discovered at last. One more stretch, cheek hard against the shelf's edge, and she found the hilt. A tug brought it free. Nona ran back, knife in hand, the one Ara had sunk into her pillow on her first night, back before they were almost friends. The knife had stood between them for 2 years now, between the Chosen and her shield, never spoken of, never mentioned, and all the sharper for it. She ran as fast as her injuries allowed, chased down the dark corridor by the ghosts of that distant night, footsteps at her heels. The others were lined up and ready, Sister Tallow watching the tunnel as Nona ran from it and came to a halt with a wince.
"I repeat this lesson for every novice to join, Grey Class. Before you leave, you will have heard it a dozen times, and still it will not have been enough."
Sister Tallow motioned for Nona to take her place at the rear of the group. "Yes, Mistress Blade," Nona joined in the chorus.
"This," Sister Tallow raised her own knife, "is a great leveler. With your bare hands it is hard to disable an opponent, harder still to kill them. Despite all that I have taught you, unarmed you could be defeated by an opponent of considerably less skill if that opponent happens to weigh twice what you weigh, if they happen to be slabbed over with muscle, 4 times your strength. I am talking here of your average city guardsman. Do not overestimate how much your training will count for in an unequal contest. In such circumstances, it may be only your willingness to move swiftly to the most savage of tactics that preserves you. The eyes, the groin, the throat."
Sister Wheel moved from the doorway, making a slow gangling advance along the far wall, staring at the novices, glancing to the windows and the doors. Sister Tallow continued as if she were not there.
"The sharp edge, however, removes a great deal of an opponent's advantages in strength and size. No muscle, however hard or thick, will stop a sword thrust. A sharp edge applied to the neck will end any contest, and swiftly. A sharp edge applied to an arm or leg will open it to the bone with grievous and crippling injury. Be in no doubt that even a light slash can destroy a limb. Skin, muscle, blood vessels, nerves, all yield to steel with frightening ease. Nona, you will find time to visit Sister Rock in the kitchens and accompany her when she next slaughters a pig. The time after that you will make the cut and apply your blade further to the warm carcass to see how easily flesh opens before a honed knife and what lies within."
Sister Flint appeared from the shadows of the corridor beneath the seating, looking around the hall as if searching for something. Though what might be hiding among the rafters, Nona couldn't guess. The other novices had noticed Sisters Flint and Wheel, and exchanged glances.
"Pair up! Colour your blades and spar. Alpha through Delta cuts only."
Clara and Ara both stepped towards Nona, but Sister Tallow saved her from having to choose between them.
"Nona, you'll be with me."
"Yes, sister." It was for the best. She had no idea what an alpha cut was, and still less how to pair with Clara without upsetting Ara. Life had been easier in that respect since Clara joined Grey Class 6 months earlier. The novices crowded around the stain stand, each hurriedly wiping their knife against the bundled rags, taking the lamp black onto the blunt edges and rounded point. Any contact would leave a line or dot on the pale leathers of the blade habit. Ara pulled her blade back from the rags, dark as ink, and grinned at Nona, making an exaggerated slow-motion thrust towards her. Nona found she couldn't echo the smile, remembering that the knife in her hand had once been a death threat. Even so, she lifted the knife in response to Ara's thrust. In that instant, something exploded from the base of the wall where nothing had been but shadows. A figure, moving with breathtaking swiftness, devouring the scant yards between them before Nona fully turned her head to see. The ground leapt up, and Nona found her bruised body pinned to it, her attacker on top of her, securing her by both wrists. She tried to speak, but the impact had hammered the breath out of her lungs.
"Nona!"
The blurred figure astride her leaned in closer. Nona managed to pull a breath back, in past bruised ribs. She blinked, clearing her sight.
"Kettle?"
Sister Kettle! Sister Tallow appeared over Sister Kettle's shoulder, reaching down for her. Kettle allowed Sister Tallow to bring her to her feet, pulling Nona up with her and keeping tight hold of Nona's knife hand.
"What are you doing, Sister?"
Sister Tallow asked. Sister Flint loomed over all of them now, with Sister Wheel deploying sharp elbows to find a path through the crowding novices. Kettle said nothing, only held up Nona's hand with the knife clutched tight.
"An interesting weapon you have there, novice."
Sister Tallow raised a single brow in that manner of hers, which Nona had been trying and failing to imitate for 2 years.
"The assassin!" hissed Sister Wheel. "This girl is in league with them."
"Don't be foolish, Wheel,"
Sister Tallow waved the idea away.
"Arabella and Nona shared a dorm room for over a year, and will start doing so again tonight."
"The threads lead us here."
Sister Wheel looked up at Tallow, indignant, hands on her hips.
"Not just me, Flint, and Kettle too."
Sister Tallow motioned for Kettle to step back, her eyes on Nona's.
"Where did you get this interesting knife, novice?"
"I..."
In the rush, and with her mind on Darla, or at least the various hurts the girl had left her with, Nona had been too distracted to notice that the blade in her hand bore little resemblance to those the other novices held, being smaller and razor-edged, the point needle-sharp.
"Show me the hilt."
Nona opened her hand, revealing a slim hilt wound with a narrow strip of leather, and ending in an iron ball. The novices about them remained dead silent for fear of being noticed and sent away. Sister Wheel noticed them, even so.
"Class dismissed. Go and pray. Pray you don't find yourself in this much trouble. Go."
"Practice your blade path. Return your practice knives to stores first,"
Sister Tallow overruled. And with reluctance, the girls began to retreat to the tunnel.
"Novice Arabella remain."
Ara came running back. Sister Tallow motioned for her to stand off to the side.
"That's a throwing knife."
Sister Tallow returned her attention to the weapon. She held out her hand, and Nona gave it over. The old nun held it to the light.
"The Noiguin take their blades from those they kill, so there is no telltale make or style to identify their work."
She returned the knife, her fingers leaving clean steel where they rubbed the lamp black from its blade.
"But I have seen the knife to this twin before, and its triplet, in the belt of a woman I pulled from the wall of your dormitory on the second night you spent in this convent."
"A Noiguin?"
Nona looked at the knife in her hand. She had had little opportunity to inspect it between retrieving it from her bed and hiding it in the stores the next day. That had been more than 2 years ago. She wasn't sure why she had hidden it beneath the storage shelf. It had meaning to her, and having it mixed with the other knives and lost had seemed wrong. So she had stabbed it into the shelf support beneath the lowest shelf. That way she obeyed the abbess by returning it, but kept it hers.
"What did a Noiguin want here?" "I opened that discussion with her."
Sister Tallow narrowed her eyes at the memory.
"But a second assassin from her order interrupted us. By the time I dealt with the interruption, the first of them had fled. And the second, well, he was in no condition to answer questions. So, I ask you again, where did you get it?"
"It was in the storeroom."
Sister Tallow raised a brow.
"I inventory the weapon stores on a regular basis. The novices in Holy Class clean and maintain all the blades daily. I've not seen this weapon or its like in 2 years."
"It was in the storeroom."
Nona gritted her teeth. Sister Tallow's narrowed eyes became gimlet. She drew breath for what might have been harsh words, but Sister Kettle spoke first.
"Do you know how it got there, Nona?"
"The abbess told me to put it there."
Nona knew what they wanted, but something deep inside her had always kept tight hold on every secret she owned. She found she could no more easily volunteer such truths than she could lie.
"When did she tell you this?"
Kettle asked. on my second night at the convent. And where did you first get the knife?
It was in my bed, Nona frowned. I sat up in the night, and when I looked back at where I had been lying, the knife was there, sticking into blankets, as if it had been stabbed there. Or thrown there.
Sister Tallow glanced across at Sister Wheel.
We thought the assassins came for Arabella, but it looks as though they were here for Nona. The Noiguan are anything but cheap. But perhaps Thirutax has found their prices more reasonable than those of the High Court judge, whose arrival followed their failure. Ancestor knows what funds Tax has put behind the visit of our own High Priest and Archons after that.
Sister Wheel cast a sour eye over Nona, then made a sickly smile for Arabella.
Our priority should be the Chosen One. The Emperor's sister made her interests clear there. A shield should be able to look after herself, for what use is she?
Sister Tallow made a small sound that might have been all of a long-suffering sigh that escaped her discipline.
Sherzal is certainly not known for letting slip anything on which she has designs. But these titles are unhelpful. Chosen One? The Abbess herself revealed the truth to us, sister?
Sister Wheel moved behind Arabella and set a bony hand to each shoulder.
It is called faith, rather than reason, sister. The Argatha comes to us out of stories, and even if the stories about those stories differ, they all agree that they came from the mouths of the holy. A nun? A priest? For this purpose, or that purpose?
She lifted a hand as if to wave away smoke.
The story exists. It was born within the church, and many have faith in it. I have faith in it. That is enough.
Sister Tallow returned her dark gaze to Nona.
Did the knife in your bed look as if it could have been thrown there?
Nona screwed her eyes shut, bringing back the image she had played through her mind so many times before. She imagined the knife stabbed there, Arabella Jotsis's hand about the hilt. But the angle?
The window! It could have been thrown from there. It was open that night.
What honest reason would anyone have for keeping a thing like that secret?
Sister Wheel discarded Ara and moved in closer, leaning to be level with Nona, watery eyes studying her face as if a lie might be discovered there.
She didn't keep it secret, said Sister Tallow. The Abbess knew. She told Nona to put the blade in stores. Though that and her silence on the subject are both very strange.
The Abbess told us Thirutax's pledge to the Emperor himself that it was over.
Ara spoke up from the side, perhaps to stop Tallow brooding over Nona's story. She offered everyone a bright smile.
My father saw him say so before the whole court. Why should we still be worried about assassins?
Tallow and Wheel exchanged a glance at that. Sister Tallow answered.
It pays to be cautious, novice. The Noiguan do not like to fail, and they are patient. Besides, now Thirutax has sworn on this matter, Nona is a liability to him, and his enemies might have an interest in seeing her harmed, thinking to bring the Emperor's wrath on the House of Taxus. And so this blade.
How did you all come to be here?
Nona asked, not wanting the conversation to return to her silence on the matter of the knife, and to reveal the strong suspicions she had held regarding Ara's part.
And, she turned around to look up at Kettle, how did you? You just came from nowhere.
I'm a sister of discretion. Kettle offered a tiny grin, just enough to show the whiteness of her teeth.
You see me when I want you to.
Threads brought us here, Nona.
Sister Flint, peering down from her grave heights. Mistress Path will teach you about threads soon enough. Now you're in grey class. Chapter 22 Sister Tallow set Ara to instructing Nona in the basics of knife work. With the other novices all busy at Blade Path, the pair of them had Mistress Blade's full attention. Never a comfortable thing. They circled, working in a silence cut by the sharpness of drawn breath, and punctuated by the distant wails of girls falling from the blade path.
No!
Sister Tallow took Nona's wrist and shoulder, moving her arm into the block she had been shown.
After 30 more repetitions of the same block and same cut, Nona tried another variation.
No,
Sister Tallow adjusted Nona's arm again.
The muscles need to learn it, not the mind. There needs to be patterns your body can fall back on when there's no time for thinking. Once those are bedded into you, then you start to improvise.
Nona fell back into the rhythm. Circle, cut, block, circle. From the frequency of the distant cries, even the novices with most practice were finding the blade path particularly difficult in their heavy blade habits. Of the girls who trained on the path in their free time, the majority were Hunska, half-bloods and primes. Though given that just getting to the end of the blade path proved a major challenge, speed really wasn't a requirement. Nona guessed that the competitive element just appealed more strongly to those with their eyes on the martial habit. Though of late, the studious Jula had demonstrated quite a talent for it, completing the whole path, albeit achingly slowly, a feat that of the recent graduates from Red Class, only Clara had managed before moving up. A moment's lapse of concentration, and Ara had slashed a black line across the pale leather of Nona's blade habit.
Again?
Sister Tallow barked. Circle. Slash, block. Circle, slash, block.
When you stab, you may find the opportunity to mortally injure your opponent. But to sink your blade, you must come in closer than to cut with it. When you stab and find flesh, your blade may become trapped by the bones of a twisting opponent. But to sink your blade, you must come in closer than to cut with it. When you stab and find flesh, your blade may become trapped by the bones of a twisting opponent. Both the necessity of stepping closer and the danger of a trapped blade open you to retaliation. There's almost no stab you can make that is so swiftly fatal that it will prevent the counter-blow.
Circle, slash, block. Circle, slash, block.
Even the whisper of a well-honed knife can cut through cloth, skin, and the muscle beneath. Knife fights are a war of attrition. Your foe is brought down by the combination of blood loss and the lost mobility due to various wounds, allowing an eventual coup de grace.
Nona's blade slipped past Ara's block and wrote a black line across her stomach. An immediate flood of guilt washed through her. She had spent 2 years thinking her friend could have stabbed her in her sleep, or at the least threatened to do so.
Of course, against untrained opponents, combat may often be concluded within moments. A slash to the throat and swift advance to the next target is recommended. Though a stab to the heart, the eye, or up under the jaw are possibilities if the opponent's blade is controlled.
Circle, slash, block. Circle, slash, block.
Break! You can join the others for 10 minutes before next bell.
Nona straightened, blinking sweat from her eyes. Time had escaped her, but the blisters on her knife hand and the circle of floor, kicked free of sand, had kept a more accurate measure than her mind.
"Yes, Mistress Blade,"
Ara nodded and hurried off towards the changing room. Nona pushed her wet hair back across her forehead, blinked again, and gave chase.
"It's great you came up,"
Ara finished with the last tie and stripped off her blade habit in one fluid motion.
"I was getting worried we wouldn't range together." "We've still got 3 months for that,"
Nona wriggled into her day habit and brushed her hands through her hair, a short, thick shock of it. She wanted to grow it long, but it went wild if she let it get past a handspan, and brushing wouldn't tame it. When it got long enough, Sister Wheel stopped calling her peasant and called her harlot instead, which made it almost worth it, but not quite.
"I hope more of the others make it up before then, too."
Ara picked up her stockings and shoes, ready to go.
"We need Ruli and Jula, at least."
Nona nodded.
Grey class went on the ranging every year. The novices sent on a long journey across open country. It was an important part of the year's lessons. Without resources, they had to live off the land and pass several convent challenges on the way.
On the previous ranging, 2 girls had been injured, one failing to reach the target in the allotted time. The abbess wouldn't throw novices out for failing on the ranging, though her predecessor had. But it was certain that nobody who failed a ranging would ever take the grey or the red.
"It'll be the first time I've got off this rock in... since I arrived here." Come on.
Ara pulled Nona's arm, shaking her out of her contemplation of the fact that she hadn't ever passed back through the pillars outside the convent.
Race you.
Nona and Ara scrambled barefoot up the stairs to the platform in the blade path chamber, Ara bursting through well in the lead and almost knocking a girl over the edge. About half the novices had already abandoned practice in favour of an early bath, but they still had some competition. Ketty sat with her back to them, legs dangling out into space, and two older novices stood waiting their turns. Taller of the two, whom Ara had nearly pitched into the net below, was Alata, her dark eyes narrowed in disapproval at Nona's arrival. The girl had ink-black hair so tightly curled it seemed to float about her head. Her dark skin had been patterned with darker scars, their raised bumps looking as if they spelled out a message whose meaning lay just beyond comprehension. The other novice was Leany, a red-haired girl with skin so pale that her veins showed in blue webs across her bare legs and arms. Out on the path itself, Clara, still in her blade habit, wobbled dangerously as she attempted the first rise of the spiral.
"Watch your back foot!"
Ara called out. Clara twitched, flailed at the air, and fell with a furious shriek, dark hair streaming up to shroud her face. Ara turned to Nona with a guilty look, raising her hands.
"Well, she did have it placed wrongly."
Nona said nothing, though to be fair, Clara had been poorly positioned. Alata gestured to the pipe with a broad hand.
"See what you got, new girl."
"You," the pale girl pointed at Nona. "I want to see if the shield drops faster than the rest of us."
Nona shrugged. She and Clara were the only acknowledged Hunska fullbloods in the lower classes, though Ara might also be, and she was certainly very fast for a prime. Fullbloods always got jealousy and awe in equal measures, but Nona's showing at the ordeal had pushed the reaction to greater extremes. It took a moment to brush the sand from her feet and apply resin. Ara had made her a gift of a small tub of the stickiest blend Nona had seen. The tub itself was silver, embossed, and worked, by far the most valuable thing Nona had touched, and yet passed to her as if it were no more than an apple core.
"Remember, take your time. Think,"
Ara spoke as Nona set foot on the pipe, arms out for balance.
"You always go too fast."
Ara's first completion was less than a month old, and her enthusiasm for giving advice had yet to wane. She had taken a little over 400 beats compared to Clara's best of 290, and failed to improve on it in her two completions since. Nona edged out, having to pull to free each foot from the traction that would prove vital in the steeper sections. She still had yet to pass the halfway point. Something never felt quite right, as if the whole shifting shape of the blade path had been designed just to throw her, Nona Gray, into the net below as a personal insult. Some elusive part of the puzzle escaped her every time, a sour note in the song, the wrongness of someone else's shoe on her foot.
"You're doing well,"
Ara from the platform, already far above Nona's head as she finished the long, slow curve of the initial descent and approached the sharp rise of the spiral's first turn.
"The net wants you, little girl,"
the pale novice.
"Darla wants you too,"
Alata called. Laughter and hoots rose from below, where other novices watched at the doorway. Nona started the climb, making sure that her back foot held a better position than Clara's had. She rose with slow steps, stuttered corrections here and there as she made the difficult transfer from the inner surface of the spiral to the outer. The structure rocked and swayed on its supporting cables. She drew a slow breath and crossed the vertex of the first loop. Click. The pendulum swung past its midpoint, and the dial advanced another notch, counting out Nona's sloth. The leap to the top of the next spiral tempted her, but the rules of the game said the whole blade path must be walked. She started her descent, relying on the resin to stop her slipping. Click. Some yards ahead, a heavy section of the blade path rotated on a joint, reacting to the shifting of Nona's weight on the spiral. Every part of the blade path levered some other part. The smallest step could set some section in motion. the whole path flexing and reconfiguring. Nona dropped into the moment, slowing the world to a crawl, the novice's laughter crashing through the registers until it reached the deep rumble of a mud ox. She reached for support, shifting her own weight to counter the motion beneath her feet, a slow hunt for balance in the space between heartbeats. Somehow, it ended as it so often ended, with Nona understanding that she had passed the point of no return, knowing that no lunge could save her now, and letting gravity take her. She fell without sound, just a silent snarl across her lips. The impact with the net, the bounce, the scramble to the side, all passed without notice. She knew she could walk the blade path, knew it blood to bone, and yet.
"Bad luck," Clara wrapped an arm around Nona. "You're getting better, though."
"I'm not."
"Let's watch Ara fall," Clara grinned. "Or just get old watching her finishing it."
A novice, nearly as tall as Darla but half her width, pulled the lever on the wall, trapping the pendulum at the end of a swing and setting the dial back to zero. Chapter 23
"Touching the path is the second most dangerous thing a person can do."
Sister Pan stalked the classroom with an energy wholly at odds with her ancient frame.
"These games you play with swords and knives, poisons and acids, you think this is danger? You girls don't even know the hurt that a sharp edge can do. A slip of the wrist, and you're open to the world, blood, bone, nerves, guts, all the soft wonder of a body cut through. If you live, the pain can last a lifetime. The loss, if you live."
She raised her right arm and gazed at the stump where her hand should be, tilting her head as if perhaps she could still see the missing fingers moving to her will. A moment later, the old woman spun on her heel to face Nona.
"I've told these girls 100 times. It doesn't stick. It's small matter if they haven't the blood for it. But you, you little Nona, you might yet do it. This ill-advised connection Novice Hesse forged with you is a possible sign. Not a proper thread bond, but an echo of one."
Sister Pan leaned in and tapped Nona's forehead with a finger as dry and dark as a charcoal stick.
"There might be a touch of Quantel locked in there, and all we need to do is find a way to set it free."
"What's the most dangerous thing?"
Nona asked.
"Huh?"
Sister Pan blinked as if the path of her own thoughts had slipped away from beneath her feet. She stood dark against the magnificence of the stained glass windows.
"You said the touching the path was the second most dangerous thing a person could do," Nona said. "What's the most dangerous?"
"Leaving the path, of course,"
Sister Pan replied, her focus back and razor sharp.
"And why is that, Novice Hesse?"
She pointed at Hesse behind her without turning her gaze from Nona.
"'Cause when you step from the path, you have to take great care to return to yourself and not to some other place,"
Hesse said.
"Some other place,"
Sister Pan repeated.
"Some terrible place from which you may never return. A dark place where demons whisper unseen. A hot place where your mind will burn. A place so cold that we who remain will see the hint of its frost in your vacant eyes. A silent place where time does not venture, and from which no thing ever leaves. You must return to yourself. What else? What else makes it dangerous? Novice Arabella?"
She pointed to Ara.
"You must own what you hold," Ara said.
"Correct,"
a nod.
"Every step along the true path of the ancestor, a path that runs through all creation, is a gift and a burden. Every step taken is a gift of the raw power of creation. Every step increases the potential within you. Sounds good, no?"
Nona nodded. The story spoke of holy witches filling their hands with magics that could blow the strongest door asunder, reduce rock to powder. They said Sister Cloud could throw lightning like a thunderstorm. Sister Owl could scatter men as if they were 9 pins with a wave of her hand.
"Imagine a stream of your favorite drink. Girls like honey wine, don't they? Imagine that.
Nona had never tasted honey wine or honey, but she nodded again.
Now, imagine it is being poured into your mouth. You like the taste. You swallow and swallow. It's good. But the jug keeps pouring. It's endless. It's too fast, but all you can do is swallow it. Your belly is swelling, your stomach bursting. You can take no more. You break away. The path is like that. You return overflowing with the gift, burning with it, bursting with it. And you must own and shape what you've been given. Fail, and it will tear you apart. Never the same way twice. It's not a quick death, either. The gift sustains. Even as it destroys you, it will keep you there. Even as you burn, whatever pieces of you remain will know suffering sharp enough to make the Emperor's torturers weep with jealousy.
Sister Pan frowned as if she had had more to say, then looked at Nona expectantly.
"I'll stick to swords and poison, then," Nona said.
"Ha!"
Sister Pan barked a laugh.
"That's all you'll be good for, young Nona, unless you work on your serenity. Serenity is what will lead you through the fog of this world to the path. Clarity will let you see it. I've no complaint with your clarity. Your serenity, on the other hand..."
She waggled her fingers. Nona ignored the laughter sprinkled across the room. Most of the class knew nothing about her beyond her showing in the ordeal of the shield. That, and the fact she had broken Darla's finger, of course, and pulled a real knife on Arabella Jotsis this morning, and on the same on the first day she arrived. "I find serenity difficult, Mistress Path." Sister Pan patted Nona's shoulder and moved back to the head of the class, a kaleidoscope of color sliding across her as she went. Clara winked at Nona. Both of them had scraped through their serenity test long after mastering clarity and then patience. The trances were hard to touch, harder to sink into, and remaining in them despite distraction was the hardest. Sister Pan offered exercises to help attain each state along with explanation of what to expect and why. In class she gave guidance towards shaping one's character and daily being to better fit the requirements. But in the end, it was words. Words. More words.
"I can show you where it lies," she had said. "I can point at it. I can describe it. But I cannot make you see it. I cannot put it in your hand. The only person who can see it, take it, and own it is you."
The old nun taught them poems, stories, fragments of song, even riddles and jests, all to help them view the world through altered eyes. To somehow see what she saw so easily. On occasion she would open the great iron-bound chest at the front of the class and take from it some pretty object to fascinate the eye with patterns. Pieces of ancient glass rainbowed through with colours, interlocking puzzles of black metal, pictures that deceived, at one glance an old man looking to the right, at the next a young boy staring left, or a hill that with a shift of perception became a pit. Endless variety with one thing held common. All of them led to the same place in different ways, a path to suit each person. Nona had come closest to serenity when running an old song through her mind, the one children sang in the village. "She's falling down, she's falling down, the moon, the moon. She's falling down, she's falling down, soon. Soon." When she passed the words over her still tongue again and again, until every one of them lost its meaning in a chain of unvoiced sound, when she remembered the shapes of the children dancing black against the focus of the moon, in those moments she reached that calm place where nothing outside could touch her, where every memory was robbed of its sharp edges. It wasn't a state without care or purpose, but one with the serenity to rise beyond the reach of fear or even pain. Nona found it no use whatsoever on the blade path, though. It just meant she fell serenely and was less bothered by how small a portion of the journey she had completed in a non-vertical manner.
"Let us contemplate serenity, novices."
Sister Pan settled herself on the great chest. Clara covered her mouth and made an exaggerated yawn for Nona's benefit. Nona pressed her lips together in a thin line and willed herself not to slump. If they had desks in Path, she would have been tempted to bang her forehead on hers. 2 years and she hadn't come close to touching the Path, let alone walking it. Not only that, she hadn't seen anyone else do it either. Infuriatingly, Sister Pan took Hessa, and later Ara, down the stairs when she judged it time to attempt the Path. The other novices, of course, abandoned their meditation and ran to the windows, peering through the small coloured panes to see where Sister Pan went. But she never emerged. One such time, Ketty, returning from the sanatorium after treatment for a wrenched shoulder, reported the portrait hall below to be empty and to have met no one on the spiral stair. The conclusion then was that Sister Pan must take the girls to a secret room in the tower's midsection. But after endless ascents and descents of that stair, Nona had no clue where any hidden door might lie. With a sigh, Nona let go of as much tension as she could without falling boneless to the floor and began her hunt for serenity.
She's falling down, she's falling down the moon.
For the first moment she thought the Bittell's voice some figment of imagination. But the ringing continued, and the steel bell cut swiftly through the layers of calm Nona had gathered to her. By the second tolling, she was on her feet with the rest of the class.
"Ancestors' blood!"
Clara was at her side, scattering chairs.
"We will proceed to the abbess's house in an orderly manner,"
Sister Pan raised her voice. Bittell had held its tongue since High Priest Jacob had brought the Archons to judgment. Nona took her place in the queue of novices hurrying down the stairs behind Sister Pan.
"Let it be a fire! Let it be a fire!"
Ketty, two places behind. Nona half wanted her to be right. Some natural disasters were preferable to the sorts that people could wreak upon each other. The wind had turned overnight and blew from the north in unsteady cold gusts, stuttering as if even now it might change its mind and let the corridor wind chase around the girdle of the world. Soon, though, if the change held, the winds would howl ice-laden, blowing in from the endless white, and all of the empire would shiver. Nona wrapped her habit tight and reined in the desire to run, matching her pace instead to Sister Pan's. Abbess Glass waited on her steps, Sisters Wheel and Rose a step below, and a step below them, Sisters Tallow and Rule. Sister Apple came hastening through the growing crowd as Nona's class approached. Out among the pillars, a horseman could be glimpsed from time to time, riding away, a silver and scarlet banner snapping behind him in the wind.
"That's a royal herald,"
Ara said, coming up on Nona's right.
"Well, yes,"
Clara elbowed in on Nona's left.
"It doesn't take a sis to recognize that."
Nona stared at the retreating figure. It might not take a taxis or a jotsis to recognize such a standard, but it took more than a peasant girl from the grey. The fluttering of the banner as it vanished for the last time tugged at her memory, the line of it trying to draw her back.
"Is the Emperor coming?"
The idea sounded silly even before she had finished saying it.
"The Emperor went with the Rex's army to counter raids by Dernish pirates,"
Ara said.
"How do you know that?"
Ruli pushed up from behind. She liked to say her family were smugglers, or sometimes fisherfolk. But in truth, her father owned several large fishing boats, a good deal more merchantmen, and had people to sail them for him. Ara shrugged, as if everyone knew it.
"A whole army? And the Emperor himself for pirates?"
Nona asked.
"When pirates strike shore, the hand of the Dernish Proctor is always at the helm,"
Ruli said.
"It's how they probe for weakness. The Emperor is stamping down hard, showing them strength." "Mistress Academia would prove of your analysis, Ruli,"
Clara half-mocking.
"That only leaves the sisters,"
Hessa's voice from behind the group.
"Valera, then, up from the coast,"
Clara said.
"Run from pirates while her brother marches along the shore?"
Ara snorted.
"You don't know sweet Valera. She'll be turning the surf crimson."
Avisglass struck the heel of her crozier